You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we welcome you to the final hour. We appreciate you being here. If you're just joining us, it's been another busy day in relation to COVID. Yes, another SEC game has gone by the wayside, at least for now. We don't know what's going to happen at the end of the year, but the Georgia-Missouri game, at least for now, has been postponed, marking four games off the board for Saturday. Only three remaining, and five schools overall in the top 25 have seen games put off, including three in the top five, including Alabama, A&M, and today Ohio State's game at Maryland was also canceled. In the Big Ten, there's no makeups. Let's get to the calls at 855-242-7285. We had Jimbo Fisher on from Texas A&M. He talked about it. Only two players testing positive, but contact tracing has done them in. Jim Stirk from Missouri. We've had many other guests as well. And now let's get back to the calls. And it is also Veterans Day. We've heard from so many veterans. Appreciate it. Tony is in Mississippi. You're on the air. Hello, Tony.
Paul, how the heck are you doing to start with?
I am doing great. I hope you are.
Paul, I am. I can't believe the Lord has blessed me 7 weeks in a row of talking to you.
Well, that's great. Thank you.
I'm at Chicago, Mississippi. And what I wanted to call, Paul, is just to say, first of all, happy Veterans Day to all the veterans.
Well, that is important, and I think sometimes we do take things for granted, Tony. But we shouldn't. It's an important day, and I'm so glad we get to recognize real heroes every year.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And Paul, the reason why I called is my pa-in-law. He's 90 years old.
Really?
He's a Korean War veteran.
Oh, wow!
And I picked him up about 30 minutes ago and took him to the cemetery by the house here, and there's two fire trucks holding a big flag, and I took him under the flag and took pictures of him. He was standing on his little walker there and just a smile with his Korean War hat on him. And that just touches me, I get emotional. And he's been my pa-in-law for 33, almost 34 years this year. And Paul, you got time for one quick little 30-second story?
You better believe it.
He said back when he was in the Korean War, he had gotten wounded, and he put in the hospital for about 8 weeks. Well, back in the Korean War days, they always put the father's name at the foot of the beds. And he said for 8 weeks, he got treated like a king. And when it come time to get out and he had assigned the papers, he seen where his daddy's name was at the foot of the bed, and his daddy's name was General Bullock, and they thought he was his general. That's why he got treated like a king. And
wow,
that man just cracks up every time he tells me that story.
That is a great story. I thought you were going to say MacArthur, because that's a great story. No, I'd never heard that.
He's such a humble person. And I just take my hat off. I fly my flag at night. My flag does not fly unless there's a light on it. And I was not in the military, but I had brothers and kinfolk that were. And just, God bless America. Everything's going to be fine. And I just thank people like you for giving people like me the opportunity to share stories like this, Paul. You are a blessing.
Well, thank you. Tony, My father-in-law passed away 2 years ago, and he was a veteran, Navy veteran of the Korean War. And I never saw him out where he was not wearing that Navy veteran hat. And at his funeral, he had the full honor guard. And it was just an amazing moment when they brought the flag to my wife. It was one of the most touching things I've ever seen.
I understand that dearly. And look, thank you again for allowing folks like me, old skinny old Tony here from Mississippi, to be able to have the airtime to share my feelings with you and the world.
Tony, thank you. And the best to your pa-in-law. He is a true hero.
Oh, yeah, he is. And I thank you again, Paul. And Roll Tide. I got to put that in.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Be careful over in Mississippi saying that. Matt is up next. You're on the air. Hey, Matt. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I got two questions. First question, do you think Alabama dodged a bullet about playing LSU this Saturday as far as dodged a bullet so they didn't catch COVID?
Yeah, listen, there's always a risk, Matt, when you get on a plane and you stay in a hotel, and I don't know what – I think yesterday didn't look like the game would be rescheduled today. There's a lot of speculation that they're going to try to take care of the divisional games if they can. That's not always equitable, but LSU has a Florida game and an Alabama game left, and which one's more important, obviously. I don't think Saban likes sitting around for a couple of weeks, especially when they're playing well. But on the other hand, it really doesn't matter. I mean, they're still the best team in the country.
Yes, sir. And we'll get to my second question. Paul, who is Leonard the golfer? Like, what's his last name?
I'm sorry, Leonard what?
Leonard the golfer.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's Leonard Thompson, who played at the University of Florida. He was a big golfer. He's won a couple of tournaments. In fact, he had a top 10 finish at the Masters one year. I've met Leonard a couple of times. He was a really good golfer. I mean, won a couple of tournaments. I mean, making a cut's a big deal if you ask me. But I think he won three or four tournaments on the regular tour and a couple on the Champions Tour.
Right. Well, I hadn't heard of him, but I'm glad you let me know about him a little bit more. No, I mean, I guess the part I was getting to is, I heard Leonard just kind of call in and criticize fans for being armchair quarterbacks and criticizing and called them coaches and ADs. And it seemed a little bit tone deaf to hear a professional athlete call in and criticize the very people that make your show possible and the very people that pay the bills.
Matt, I understand that. And I've gotten in a lot of trouble in my career with athletic directors and commissioners and coaches because I've always taken the side of the fans, and I believe very strongly in that. I was joking. Yeah, I mean, we have some certifiable nutcases that call in the show, but they're also the same people that make the show what it is.
They are. I don't know if Leonard's really familiar with how this show even came to inception. I mean, I've been listening to you probably 10 years, so I don't.
Well, I appreciate it. And Matt, I say this all the time, and I'll say it until my final day on this program, that this show is about the callers and the fans that make it. I get a lot of credit for things with which I really don't have much impact on. When we made this move seven years ago, it was a difficult one because people kept telling me it's not going to be the same show, and I know it's really not the exact same show, but I still think it's close.
No, it's close. I mean, you got enough crazies that call in that keep us entertained, just like back in the old days.
Yeah, when you can get a guy like Daryl call in and be dismissive of an absolute beatdown by his biggest rival, then there's no shortage of crazy people on this program.
Yeah, I mean, I think straight to Tammy, when having this conversation. I mean, she was absolutely unhinged. But, everybody was very familiar with Tammy.
Well, the one thing I've learned, Matt, that's been the difficult part of this year is, being curtailed. But being able to travel as much as I have and go to every campus until recently and meet fans. I mean, there are a lot of those out there, but I will tell you, there will never be anyone like Tammy. I mean, she was literally one of a kind. But she was also one of the nicest, sweetest, most caring people I've ever met. And that day at her funeral was one of
Dear to all of our hearts, Paul. Yeah. I mean, we as the listeners just got used to her going absolutely ape crap in conversations with you, and it seemed like you wouldn't go a week without hearing Tammy scream at somebody. So it's just, she was perfect.
Well, thank you. I mean, she was like a mother tiger, and if you dared to endanger her, she would kill you, but she would also give you the jacket off her back. Anyway, quick break. Coach Martin at the bottom of the hour. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We appreciate you being here. Great to have everyone. And Bill is up next in New Jersey. Hey, Bill.
Oh, hey, Paul. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
Third time caller in probably since you first started on TV.
Fantastic.
One thing troubles me about this whole COVID thing and the SEC schools right now. My gosh. What is the problem? I mean, don't these kids understand that they're not invincible?
Bill, I think it's bigger than just them. I think it's a broader question for all of us. And I don't, we just finished the election. It may not officially be over, but this debate has raged on. And I think most of these young players have been responsible, but it takes very little to shut a game down. Jimbo Fisher, the coach at A&M, told us 3 hours ago, he had two positives, but because when you contact trace it out, it shuts down the game.
Now, Paul, not for nothing. After watching, you know, games during the season, and I've seen, you know, a number of games, but when I see some of the coaches on the sidelines disregarding everything, what is that to say for the rest of the team?
Well, you're right. I think it starts with the head coach, and you know there are head coaches that are vigilant, and then there are some who masquerade. They throw this gator up over their head, you know, once or twice a game.
Now, I think earlier in the program you referenced Heather Dinich saying that, you know, that the committee was pretty much locked into what they were going to do.
Oh, yeah.
How is this really going to shake out everything?
Bill, I mean, they're playing with fire, of course, and you're just hoping that 3 days before the semifinals or the national championship games, something unbelievable happens. It could. Yeah, I mean, I think it's remarkable how other sports have gotten past it, but you know, in basketball, $200 million investment can cure a lot of ills. Baseball, you know, bubbled their playoffs, but college football is not going to do that, and it's also coming at the worst possible time of the year. End of December into January, when everyone, I'm sure, will have gone home briefly. And, you know, that's, you know, if you're COVID or no COVID, people misunderstand that by going into your house, you're going to be safe.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just
Commissioner Sankey said it the other day. He holds his breath every week. And this week, it finally happened.
Yeah. All right, Paul. Thank you very much.
Bill, thank you. Yeah.
All you have done for us vets. I'm a Marine Corps veteran, so I can understand.
Well, thank Semper Fi. Hey, thank you very much. And I will tell you what. Nobody wants to hear what I'm about to say, but if the season ended today, it's not, obviously, I feel like we've got a lot in. You know, back in July when it was all doom and gloom, getting to November 11th would have been an accomplishment. How many times did people say, I think we can get the season started, but we probably won't be able to finish it? Well, we've got a pretty good shot at finishing this season. It will be rocky, but I think we've exceeded expectations. Let's check out Mike, who is up next here on this Wednesday night. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Mike, I'm well. Thank you. Appreciate your call.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'll make this quick. I lost a precious uncle Monday to COVID, and my uncle Ben West, who was a great man, introduced me to you way back in the Huntsville News days.
Oh my.
The morning paper that obviously was a reprint basically of the Birmingham News.
Yeah, right.
And he just loved you. He loved you. He laughed at some of the things that you said and did back in the day. But what I really want to say in honor of him, I laughed at this COVID. It's just the flu. Well, I want to say to Auburn, Florida, Georgia, A&M, Tennessee, Kentucky, Arkansas, South Carolina fans, you better be careful. Just be careful. Be careful. We have elderly people in our family. We may heal from it, but they may not. Wear your mask. Distance. This isn't a political statement. This is reality. Just, be careful. Take this seriously.
Mike, first of all, so sorry to hear. And I appreciate you sharing that. I can I can just, you know, for a lot of the audience, they've never really known me as a newspaper columnist, but I can just hear your uncle and so many others cursing me or swearing or laughing or crying. That column was a big part of my life, and for you to bring what he said up means a great deal. And you're right. None of us want to moralize here or preach or do anything, but it primarily affects older people. We know that, but if you're going to be exposed to them, you're putting them at risk. You're absolutely right.
That's right, Paul. And we just need to remember, don't make this political. Take care of those around us and be careful. And thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Mike. And again, all the best. And thank you for sharing that story. That is truly remarkable to how it does affect people. And that's a tough thing to have to go through. But I appreciate it. Let's check in with Don, who is in Atlanta. Hey, Don, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. First, thoughts and prayers to Mike and his family. That's it's unfortunately something too many people are having to go through. But I also wanted to say, you know, for Veterans Day, thank you with my gratitude for all the veterans out there. You know, just the fact that they're proud to put that on the uniform and join is awesome. And also, last thing before my question, I'm a misplaced Aggie in the Atlanta area, and I appreciate you having on Coach Fisher and the guys from Tex-Ags, Billy, Gabe, and Olin, because it really helps. I think they do a good job of being pretty fair and very fair in their analysis of A&M and what's going on in football. But my question for you, and I'm not one of your crazies, as you alluded to a little while ago, but I do hope to ask an intelligent and an interesting question. What is happening with the networks right now, with all the cancellations this week between CBS, ABC, ESPN, SEC Network, and others, is there a domino effect? Do they transfer games from one network to another, or do they fill it in with the alternative programming? What's happening?
Yeah, Don, it's a great question, and it's a problem too. A week like this, I mean, the biggest game obviously was Alabama LSU. That CBS was doing two primetime games this year, the Georgia game and this game. And this game was particularly important because it was the lead-in was the Masters. So you would spend the entire afternoon Saturday promoting that game, and you're assuring it of a really large audience. So you know, what I'm told is CBS is not going to have a game. There's no game to put on. Because the next best game in the SEC would be Arkansas and Florida. That game's already on ESPN, I believe, I think that game's on ESPN, maybe on the SEC. But so everything, you know, remember the SEC network is part of ESPN. So if ESPN loses a primetime game, they're going to snatch it up. And, you know, the Big Ten Network lost the Ohio State game, I believe. So, you know, they're losing a big game. The Tennessee A&M game, I believe, was ESPN. So I really don't – I have not had a chance to – I don't know what ESPN's going to do. CBS will just put whatever they have on Saturday night, which I have no earthly idea because I'm watching football.
Mary
here.
Poppins, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it whatever it is, it probably won't matter. I mean, I don't know. I would just rerun the Masters. It's got to be better than anything they can come up with.
Well, maybe they could dip down and, you know, big weekend for Marshall and the Thundering Herd and put their game on, or, you know, pick some.
Yeah, but the problem with that, the problem is that, you know, they, you know, I mean, you do have a standard at a network, and you want to make sure you're – I mean, they were expecting – you know, 10 million people watching the game. On a normal Saturday night, you probably, for a sitcom, you know, maybe have 3 to 5 million if you're lucky. So, I mean, they take them, and you've already sold advertising. It's a big deal. So, yeah, I mean, it's I mean, we've already lost a lot of games. Think about all the Big Ten games, the Pac-12 games, all these other games. So, I have not. We'll take a look at it later. But like the SEC Network schedule Saturday, normally you have a noon, 4, and 7:30 game. So I'm sure if somebody knows, they can tell me in my ear. I'm sure we lost at least. We already were down one game, I think. I don't know whether we lost the other game or not, but it's a real problem. There's big money involved here, to say the least.
Yeah, I guess we'll tune in and find out. I guess selfishly, being an Aggie fan, I'm paying more attention to it this weekend.
Yeah, so the Aggies game, I think, was on ESPN. So right now, we don't have the SEC does not have a middle game, but it's got a noon and an 8. Vandy, Kentucky is the early game. Thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. We're heading to a break. Really some interesting and poignant calls there. We'll take a short break. We've had many, many guests already, and we have one more to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
And we welcome you back to the program. Great to have all of you here. And we also want to continue with the SEC's build up to basketball. Yes, the basketball season is right around the corner, and we're delighted to welcome our good friend Coach Konzo Martin of the University of Missouri. Coach, great to have you back. We talked to you over the summer, and here we are in November, and the basketball season maybe starting a little bit later than we thought. But how are you, and how is your program doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me, Paul. And I'm excited to get started, but I'm good. My family's healthy. We're well, so everything is good so far.
There are so many issues out there right now. We watch it every day in football, and of course Missouri having some issues on that side of the fence. So there's no way you can rest easily, I'm sure, as you try to get your team ready. How has it gone in terms of the process, and how do you think we're all coming on and getting ready for the college basketball season?
I've always been a guy that says one day at a time, and I truly feel that way, one day at a time. Taking all the necessary precautions to make sure our players are safe, that's first and foremost. And they seem like they're in a great space because it's simply basketball for them. They're doing the necessary things so they can have a season. And again, I think it's for us one day at a time, and I'm hopeful that we can have a season and finish the season.
I know that the way everything ended last year was so stark, right in the middle of the SEC tournament, no NCAA tournament. For someone like you, who has been such a mainstay in that tournament with some really nice runs at all of your stops, what was it like to have to see everything shut down, no champion crowned, and such disappointment for so many young people, both men and women?
I think for us, we were shocked. I mean, just like a lot of people, but just the unknown. And you didn't know at that time we would be here today. So that part was it was surreal. And I think for our guys right now, just the excitement of getting back on the floor and try to finish something, because I felt like we were playing good basketball down the stretch, had guys back, guys who were healthier. So that part was great. But just hopefully we can have a season, have some fun with it. Everybody can stay healthy. We know there'll probably be games missed. Hopefully, there are not too many games missed. As you can see with our football team here, we were excited about playing this weekend. But again, we'll take the necessary precautions to make sure everybody's safe and healthy.
Well, Coach, let's leave COVID at the door for a second, as I think everyone would, and talk about the what's going to happen on the hardwood. How do you feel about your team?
I like our team. I like our experience. I think our experience is battle-tested, because it's one thing to have mature guys, but I think our guys are battle-tested. I've been through quite a bit, and they've learned some valuable lessons, some painful, but they've learned some valuable lessons, and I think they have a value with playing with each other, that they're selfless from the standpoint of they want to see each other be successful. They want to reap some rewards of their hard work, and I think our guys worked extremely hard between the realities of COVID up until this point. I think our guys have put some major work in, and it's always good to see that on the floor now. We got to make sure that transfers to actual games every day.
In terms of the season, I mean, it's, as you said, nobody knows what it's going to look like. We are starting a little bit later. We should already be having games. But once it starts, you can't be concerned about anything other than than trying to win games and then get ready for the conference lineup. What does your pre-SEC schedule look like?
Well, right now we open up at home. Then we're planning a tournament in Connecticut, the Mohegan Sun, and that's Boston College and Oregon. And we're inking the paper as we speak, so that should be done unless something crazy happens. But that should be done. We're still working toward finalizing it with Illinois, because that's always been a great event for the Bragg and Rice game. It's been a great for, you know, really college basketball. So hopefully we get that done here shortly. But, you know, after that, it's business as usual. And you have games. We got nine conference games, preseason conference games. Hopefully we can play all nine of those. And then we go from there. We're actually at Wichita State, which is, you know, always a tough place to play.
No, as soon as you mentioned Illinois, I started thinking about you growing up on the Illinois side of that river. That's all games matter, but I'm sure that one matters a great deal to you and your family.
Yes, it's a big one. I mean, I think that's great for, you know, the states. I mean, just a lot of energy, a lot of passion. That St. Louis area is always jumping. It's just a tremendous atmosphere to be a part of, and Brad has done a great job in recruiting. His personnel is great. His teams are great, and that, hopefully we can get that one done.
Coach, before you go, I would like to just pick up something that we talked about last summer. We had you on during a difficult time in this country in the aftermath of the murder of George Floyd, and I know that you have spent a lot of time talking to many people, but especially your own team. It's many months since then, but I am curious how your guys have dealt with the aftermath of that, and just being more involved in issues in this country.
Well, you know, because of COVID, we probably did 50 plus Zoom calls just with our team, several guest speakers, and understanding the realities of life, and it's real stuff. But it's not as if because of what has currently taking place in the past month that we never talked about it. Those are things that we always talk about, it because it's real life stuff, and we feel like our guys are more than just student athletes. These are young men. Eventually they'll be fathers, they'll be husbands. So these are life lessons we have to teach them, whether it's uncomfortable. And in our program, we respect all walks of life, but we don't necessarily judge on how you look. I mean, because we're all family, so to speak, in our program. And sometimes we have candid conversations. They're real, they're raw. And it can be somewhat uncomfortable, but we have to do that. And our guys know how we feel as a program, how I feel as a coach, a father, a man, and a husband, and what I value. And I think, again, we want to win at the highest level, but we have to make sure our guys have the necessary tools to be successful in life. So it's always uncomfortable, but it's real.
Coach, it's always enjoyable to talk to you. We get a lot out of it and learn from it. And we wish you well, and hopefully we have many more conversations about the next game versus all the things that have been going on. All the best.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Coach Konzo Martin of the University of Missouri. And as we mentioned going into that, the build-up to basketball by the SEC Network, yes, it is right around the corner. And we got a lot more to talk about. Joni Taylor, Buzz Williams among the guests that will be dropping by over the next couple of days as everybody gets psyched about the season almost being here. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.